Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Okay, I'm just going to be putting on my HR cap this morning. You know, sometimes when people, very close affiliates or family members talk to me and they seek my advice, sometimes when I give the advice, especially my older sister tells me, you are becoming more of HR than accountant. I can't help it. So I'm going to put on my HR cap this morning and I'm going to just talk to you about something that looks like a job advert. When you go on LinkedIn or on Google and you see a job advertisement, there are three major things you see in the advert. You see the role, right? The role is like the status, maybe financial accountant or HR manager. Or what are your roles? Tell me. IT developer. Those ones, they are so proud. But it's okay, we forgive you. You get a number of roles. My HR MSc holder, tell us now. Hallelujah. And then another thing you see is the criteria, the eligibility criteria, the requirements, what is expected of you, what qualification you are expected to have, what will be considered, you know, in before you apply and while the interview is going on. And I know most of the time they tell you, don't worry, even if you meet just 60% of the criteria, you should apply. You know, there's room for grace and all of that. And then the last thing you see there is reward. You see the benefits. Now, you don't see the full details of the reward, but you see something. They put there the most attractive reward or a unique one. Recently, I stumbled on a job advertisement and I saw birthday day off. And I was like, wow. You know, so recruiters like to put that one thing that stands out, one thing that they know you probably don't have where you are. So they tell you flexible work environment. They tell you comprehensive health insurance. They tell you all sort of beautiful things. And when I saw birthday day off, I went back to the job. And I said that it was IT related. I cannot apply. Because aside from your leave, it means that you have birthday. And it wasn't stated, maybe your own, or you and your spouse's birthday, or you and your... By the time we get there, we'll cross the bridge. You know, but recruiters like to just put that unique reward. That thing that makes that role stand out. And if you are lucky, or if you are fortunate, and you get that role, the moment you join the organization, a part of your name changes. So you join the organization, your name is maybe Tolu Ojetunde, and then you join as Director of Finance. The moment you get into the organization, people begin to greet you. Hello, Mrs. Tolu Ojetunde, Director of Finance, you're welcome. Within a few days, people begin to call you Director of Finance. It becomes your identity. It becomes who you are. You'll be shocked that some people will not even know your name for like 1-2 years. They just know, oh, there's someone on the building now, new in the building, the Director of Finance. Oh, you're the director. So even if you say, my name is Tolu, then you say the Director of Finance. Oh, they know that part because it is you. Now, most of the time, when you join a new organization, it might be a bit difficult to adjust. So somebody calls you Director of Finance, if you're not careful, especially if your role changed from your previous employment, if you're not careful, you will not know that you're the one they're calling. Because you just joined, you were probably junior accountant. And then God lifted you and you joined and you became a Director of Finance. And then somebody says, oh, Director of Finance. You'll be like, oh, yes. But it is you. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. I came with my Bible. I can read. Okay. Media has bribed me. Blessed is the man. My Amplified Bible says, happy, fortunate, prosperous, enviable is the man. Blessed here is an adjective that describes the man. It is a status. It is his personality. It is who he is. So people see him and call him blessed. Hallelujah. It is his person. It's an attribute that describes him. So when people look at this particular man, you don't even need to know his name. But what you know is all over him. You see that his identity is blessed. I remember the story of Abraham when he had an encounter with Melchizedek. Bible records that Melchizedek looked upon him. Maybe you want to just quickly look at it. I'm trying to remember where that is now. Genesis 14. Genesis chapter 14, I think it's verse... So this was after Abraham had gone to recover Lot. And then the king came out to him. Verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, later called Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine for their nourishment. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him. So he blessed Abraham. That's a verb. Do you understand? He blessed Abraham. And he said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator, possessor of heaven and earth. Next verse. And blessed, praised, and glorified be the God Most High. So after he blessed Abraham, he saw the dimension of blessedness on Abraham. After the likeness of the blessedness in God. So blessedness here in Psalm chapter 1 is an attribute that describes your person. It tells us who you are. It is you. It is not something that you can leave behind. You carry it everywhere you go. It is in your blood. It is in your DNA. It is how you are known. It is how you are recognized. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man, Psalm chapter 1. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Now, you know, another interesting meaning of blessed is to set apart, to make holy, to consecrate. So there are different dimensions when you look at the different meanings of this blessed. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly. So looking at this, our job advert, we're still looking at the role. Now the role here is what? Blessed. Because that is the status. So when you go through this recruitment process, when you go through the interview, when you go through, you know, through the entire process, what you become after the process is blessed. What you are called after the process is blessed. What you enjoy is the status of one who is blessed. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the eligibility criteria now. So we've dealt with one part of the job advert. When you see a role and you're interested in it, I mean, you say, oh, this is what I want. So now I've pushed the job advert to you. That is the role. We are recruiting. Amen. We are recruiting. Hallelujah. The Lord sent me this morning to join in recruiting. So we are recruiting. And of course, I've put in my application. I'm the recruiter and the applicant at the same time. Hallelujah. So the status here, the role we're looking at here is a role of blessedness. Now look at the eligibility criteria. The first says, the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What is counsel? Now, this is the first criteria. Counsel means advice. Counsel means guidance. Tell me, English people in this house. Counsel means guidance. It means counsel. Sorry? Advice, yes. Guidance, yes. What else? Any other word? Oh, sorry? Direction. When you give counsel, you give direction. Information that can help the person in making a decision. Now, counsel is not the decision in its own. It is just a tool to help you get to that point or to help you make that decision. Counsel means awareness. When you bring to someone's awareness, when you give valuable information that can help the person decide. Counsel means enlightenment. If you go to a lawyer or if you go to maybe a wellness practitioner and you tell them you've not been sleeping for some days, they counsel you. They tell you the different things that could cause it and what you can do to overcome it. So that's counsel, awareness, enlightenment. Now, I want you to also see counsel as a seed. Counsel is a seed that is expressed through words. Counsel is a seed. Now, as every other natural seed, if you leave the seed on the table for 100 years, it remains a seed. But if you put the seed in the ground, it becomes a tree. So counsel has the potential both to be living and to be dead, depending on what you do with it. Counsel has the potential to live if it comes in contact with a thriving environment. If it comes in contact with the environment that makes it thrive, then it will live. So counsel is a seed. On its own, it's not an action. But when you're given a counsel, whatever you do with it determines what you get. And you know, seed time and harvest. If you plant that seed, you get it. Hallelujah. Now, when you walk in counsel, you give energy or you give vitality to the seed. So you're walking in that counsel is you're planting the seed in the ground. Praise God. You're walking in that counsel is planting that seed to give it energy, to give it nutrients, to give it what it needs to thrive. I want us to go to Genesis chapter 3. And this is just recounting the story, the encounter Eve had with the serpent. Now, I hope you know that the serpent did not tell Eve to eat that fruit. If you agree with me, raise your hand. Okay, if you think the devil told Eve, eat that fruit, it's okay. Let's see your hands up also. Okay, you are not raising your hand for this one. No, neither ye, no. It's okay. We still have the nay. All the nay have it. Hallelujah. So what happened here was the devil did not tell Eve, eat the fruit. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Go on. So what he said was, wait, what did God even tell you? Did he even say you should not eat any tree? He didn't even point to that particular tree. He said, did God say you should not eat anything here? God wants to starve you. What exactly did God tell you? And the woman said, we can eat. We can eat, but not, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Go on. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Go on. And the serpent said to the woman, no, it's not like that. It's not like you would die. It's not like you would die. Oh. Go on. And she said, for God doth know that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what the devil did was just to bring Eve to an awareness, to enlighten Eve of what God said. And you know, the serpent was not lying. Jump to verse 22. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. Was that what the serpent said? Now he can tell, and now he has become as one of us to know good and evil. Was that not what the devil said? Did he lie? So maybe for the first time, the serpent didn't even lie. The devil didn't lie for the first time. Is that not strange? No, but you know the challenge with the counsel that comes from the ungodly, the challenge with the counsel that comes from the devil is that it comes from a stream of debt. D-E-A-T-H. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the words that the devil speaks, even if they sound biblical, even if they sound scriptural, even if they sound like what God had told you, it is from a stream of debt. So every word from the devil ends up in debt. So what the devil did was just to tell Eve, to enlighten Eve and to bring her to an awareness that, look, let me just explain to you. It's not like you will die, but this is what God is trying to say. You will become like him. You will know good from evil. And the devil left because counsel is a seed. So what the devil did was just to plant the seed. If the seed comes into an environment where it has life, then it begins to grow. So the devil did not way back to with Eve to say, so what will you do with what I said? Have you not done anything? I told you now that God said you will not die. Have you not seen the fruit? No. He just dropped the seed and left. The devil believes that, and let me just be spreading the seed everywhere. Anywhere it germinates is okay for me. The devil is busy spreading the seed of counsel of the ungodly to every avenue possible. Now it is left for you to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life. So this, because the devil is one planting the seed, does not mean the seed will disobey the seed time and harvest rule. So it is left to you to cultivate your heart so that when the counsel of the ungodly comes, it does not find a place in you. So the devil dropped the seed and walked away. And Eve thought about it. Looked at the fruit again. Remember, God said, don't even look at it. But she went, the devil did not say, look at it. Ha. But that seed found a place in the heart of Eve and it began to germinate. When the devil drops seeds, so you see people, you hear people say, oh, it was the devil. I fornicated, it was the devil. The devil has never told anybody, go and fornicate. Mm-mm. He just dropped the seed of lust. He just dropped the seed of greed. He won't tell you, go and steal your company money. He just plants the seed of greed. You just see the cash being piled up, and the devil is just asking you, did they say you should not even touch this money? Ah, they say if you touch it, we'll go to prison. Ah, it's not like that. But if you touch it, it just means that, you know, then he tries to enlighten the person. When he's enlightening, he is planting the seed. He has so many other places to go to. So he can't wait and be pouring water on it. He leaves the seed because the word of God is real. Seed time and harvest must happen. So even that one will germinate if he finds ground. So counsel is a seed, and you just have to be careful. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. When the devil drops the seed of deception, it leads to disobedience. He drops the seed of lust, it leads to sexual immorality. He drops the seed of greed, it leads to theft. You can think of all the seeds. Think of all the seeds. Think of all the sins in this world. They are rooted in one seed or the other. Join me to pray in the spirit. I refuse to give life to the seed of confusion. I refuse to give life to the seed of deception. I refuse to give life to the seed of lust. I refuse to give life to the seed of greed. I refuse to give life to the seed of lust. Every seed of impatience is destroyed. Every seed of selfishness is strangulated. Every seed of anger is destroyed. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to give life to the seed of anger. I refuse to give life to the seed of hatred. I refuse to give life to the seed of anger. I refuse to give life. Hallelujah. There are two main sources of counsel. Isaiah 30 verse 1. Counsel can come from God, and the other side is the ungodly. So when you are not receiving the counsel of God, then you are probably receiving the counsel from the other angle. Hallelujah. Let's go to criteria two. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to the second criteria, but I'll start again from the beginning of the verse. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. Nor stand in the way of sinners. This one is not talking about you standing and blocking sinners. Hallelujah. Now there's the Hebrew word for stand. And I must give credit to Pastor Benga. He has taught me to study. Thank you, Pastor, wherever you are. Thank you. Now the Hebrew word for stand is omad. And it means to be established. So this Hebrew word is also has its meaning in English as being established. So it does not only mean stand, it means to be established, to be planted, to be firm, to be, yes, grounded, to be firm in something, to be known in something, to be established in it. And when you talk about the way that standeth in the way of sinners, the word way, derek, means a course of life, a custom, a manner of life. Now let me read this in the Amplified Bible. It says, blessed is the man who lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, and does not stand in the path where sinners walk. In the course of life, in the manner, the same, let's put as behavior, living in the way of life of a sinner. Living in the way of life of a sinner, not to be established. Now, standing in the way of sinners is like a continuation of walking in the counsel. So this is it. You get the counsel, you get the seed, then the seed becomes planted, and then if you are established in that counsel, if you are established in that way of life, then you are beginning to stand in the way or manner that sinners stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, give me the right words. So it's like a continuation. So you see a tree and you tell yourself this tree is becoming too big. Then you cut off the fruit. You cut off the branches. You lower the tree. Just give the tree a few more years. Because the tree is already established. There is still a seed under the ground holding the tree firm. The tree will sprout again. So you fall into the sin of fornication today, and then you run to pastor and say, Pastor, it happened. I did it. I did it. It happened. It's the devil. And then they pray for you. They tell you you're a student. You know, you do all sorts. Study the word. But you have not addressed the seed of lust. It only takes a short while. Then you will do it again. The devil is after me. The devil is after me. The devil has not come back. It is still the initial seed that was planted. The devil probably just checks, is my seed still there? And if the seed is uprooted, then it can want to attempt to plant another one. But if you just cut off the branch, remove the trees, and you do not address the seed that was initially deposited in that ground, the tree just needs a period of time with the right environment, enough water, soil, sun, and everything, and then it grows again. So walking in the way of a sinner is being established. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, shall we continue in sin? It is the continuing in sin that is the walking in the way of a sinner. So you are walking the same way the sinners walk. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So you will address every root. You will address every seed. Now, let me also say this. The devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You see, all of these three activities, they are linked into just three things. The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. These are the major seeds, those three. So when you see the manifestation of the pride of life, or you see the manifestation of the lust of the flesh, what you should address is not that physical manifestation you are seeing. What you should address is that seed that has been sown. And the only way to address, if you go further in Romans 6, go to verse 2. Sorry, not Romans 6. 2 John. 2 John that speaks about the seeds. The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh. 2 John chapter 2. 2 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Sorry, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So why didn't somebody correct me? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes. Remember, the Bible says all that is in the world. So this is the summary of everything that is in the world. The lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life. These do not come from the Father, but are from the world. Verse 17 says, and the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings. All of these forbidden cravings pass with it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides forever. So the antidote for this lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, is standing and being established in the will of God. The purposes of God, the desires of God. That is the way out. If you want to address the seed of lust, you want to address the seed of the pride of life, then you have to stand in the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Criteria number 3. Psalm chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Sit in the seat. Now, sit here, S-E-A-T, can also be described as an assembly. When the elders sit at the gate, it is an assembly of elders. So don't look at seat as your singular seat. This is a seat. Do you understand? This is an assembly, a gathering, an association. So the man that does not sit in the seat. Now, to sit in the seat means you are joined with the association. It means you are a part of the gathering. It means you are counted as one of the gatherers. When you sit, S-I-T, in the seat, S-E-A-T. So sitting is you are being joined in that seat of the scornful. And who do we know as the scornful? Someone who expresses extreme contempt, disregard, exhibits lack of respect, disdainful, someone who does not regard God, a mocker, someone who does not honor God. In this 2024, if you want to take the business of this flourishing seriously, then you have to reevaluate your association. You need to check again the people you belong to. I mean, I hear a lot of things. Oh, he's not born again. He doesn't love God. He doesn't even like to talk about church. But he's my best friend. He's my best friend because he has a free spirit. That's why he's speaking everything that the devil is throwing about. He is free spirited. He has a free spirit. He's just nice. And he's your best friend. That's why you don't have a prayer partner. Because the devil is your prayer partner. Now, if you are not in that relationship as ordained of God, then you need to reevaluate it. You know, she's been through a lot lately. So this prostitution that she's doing is not because she really wants it, but... And I just have to give her space. We don't talk about it. We talk about every other thing, you know. I have to respect that space. Huh. You are sitting in the seat of discomfort. So it tampers with your eligibility to be called blessed. You have to reevaluate your association. You have to check it again. Check it again. I can't pray with him. I can't preach to him. He doesn't even want to hear anything about God. But he's a nice person. And I just think we can make it work. No, he said when we get married, he will still leave me to be going to church. They play. I don't think I should touch that personal part of our life. And then they still call you. Your best friends call you. You are in the midst of them. You go to bar with them. Then they say, in your mind, you are being a Christian when you say, no, I don't want to drink. I'll just take malt. In your mind. Meanwhile, you are seated in the seat of the scornful. Because right there, as they sit there, they say all sorts of things. They talk down on your belief. They talk down on your God. They don't respect your God. They don't honor your values. But because you don't want it to look like because you are now going to church, you have now left your friends. You need to reevaluate. See, some people are just affiliates. They are not your friends. Some people are just colleagues. They are not your friends. So you need to properly define every relationship. Properly defined. Hallelujah. You know, even man will not give you an opportunity if he's not sure of your association. There was a case, there was a job advert, and someone I know had applied, and he had gone through all the different, you know, depending on the level of seniority, the steps become more. I mean, it got to a point when I was getting to this level, I told myself, I think it's even better to be doing the entrance one. That one is just one, and one person in HR might even be a contractor, interviews, and that's all. But you know, the more you higher you go, you then need to meet with the head of HR, you meet with the MD, you meet with executive directors. So this person had gone through all of the ranks and had even done the final interview. And they were going to make a decision. But guess what? Someone in that same organization who had given them a lot of trouble, also recently resigned. You know, those kind of resignation. Nobody will say, let's look at what we can do. You want to resign? That's beautiful. You have another opportunity somewhere. Oh, fantastic. That's great. Oh, really? Oh, or you just say you want to do your own thing. Oh, beautiful. You know, we've always seen the entrepreneurial spirit in you. Nobody will discourage you. You have given them too much trouble. So, I mean, it's time for us to rest. So, unfortunately, it happened at the same time. And then the person that was supposed to make the final decision was just at home. You know, when the devil wants to show up, it will be the cool of the evening when men have gone to war. So he was just at home flipping through his phone, and then coincidentally, the person that resigned and the person that applied for the role had worked together in an organization before. Now, it's not bad taking pictures with your colleagues, but the picture he posted on Facebook was a night out picture. Because I know all of them involved, they had gone for another colleague's christening, and then it was late, and then they took the picture. But if you don't know the story, you would think they were probably at a bar together, and they took the picture. Now, Facebook reminded this person. You know how Facebook tells you 5 years ago, and you're just like, wow, I hate those things, because they just tell you how far you have gone away from your dream. From your body dreams. You know? And then it just tells you 5 years ago. You're like, more. So you want to tell people that I was good 5 years ago. Then you post it again. He reposted. So this man was looking through his phone and he saw this post. And he saw the two of them in the picture. And he picked his phone and called another person on the panel and said, "We can't take this guy. You don't want any more troubles. We just got free from one trouble. Drop him." And that was how the guy lost the opportunity. Now, nobody would have known this story. But somehow, I told myself, I will know why they dropped this person. So we started asking, why? Until we got to the person who said, "Oh, this was what happened. And you just saw the picture and it feels it's too much stress." They are affiliated. They are friends. So even man will not give you an opportunity if your association is wrong, let alone God. Abba. I know it can be difficult breaking away sometimes. Because you've been friends from probably childhood, or you've shared moments, or you've had one or two things. So please, you receive the strength to reevaluate every relationship and do the necessary in the name of Jesus. These relationships are the Balak Association. Numbers chapter 22. Let's quickly look at the story of Balak and Balaam. Balak was terrified. Numbers 22. He was terrified by the presence of the Israelites, and he needed to fight them. Now, other kings who had fought them ahead of him got their lands taken, so he knew he could not do it by himself. So he sent for Balaam, and he told Balaam, move to verse 8, and he told Balaam to come and help him curse them. Verse 8, now we are still looking at sitting in the seat of discomfort when you associate with those who do not regard God. So Balaam had spoken with God, and God had told him, don't go. That's verse 7. The Lord had told Balaam, don't go there. But Balaam, is it verse 7? And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian had departed with the rewards of divination in their hands, and they came unto Balaam and spoke unto him the words of Balak. Verse 8. And he said unto them, Lord, hear this night, I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Go on. And God said unto Balaam, what men are these with you? Who are these people? I don't know them. They are not on my radar. They are not part of my plan for you. Who are these? So God was questioning his association. Oh, she just wants to spend the night. it's just to spend some time with me. So God said, who are these with you? Go on. And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab. Now God knew who they were, but what God was questioning was his association with them. Go on to the next verse. He wants me to come and curse them. Go to the next verse. And God said unto Balaam, you shall not go with them, and you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. Go on, verse. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, go to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me leave to go with you. So he actually told them, the Lord will not permit me to go with you. I think you should go back to where you have come from. Which was very good of him, right? I want to jump to verse 20. You know, there's just something with your Bible, right? You connect better. Or is it just me? Hallelujah. So I jumped to verse 20. Now, they went back to Balak, and Balak sent another set of people with more reward, with more gifts to Balaam again to say, look, this guy doesn't know the importance of what I want. Go back to him. Now, I hope you know that for everyone who went to Balaam, they went representing Balak. And that's why I call this association the Association of Balak. Because it was Balak that was inviting him. So they went as representing Balak. And God said to Balaam, and God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. But still do only what I tell you to do. Now, they came the second time. God had told Balaam the first time, don't go with them. Then they came again, and Balaam told them, God will not allow me to go with you. But you know what? Spend the night. Spend the night again. I enjoyed your company the last time you came. It was nice. We had a good time. We had fun. Spend the night again. Let me see. Maybe God will change his mind by tomorrow so I can go with you. And God said, go. Now, God told him go because he was already compromised. I told you, I don't want you with these people. I don't know them. But he enjoyed the company. I mean, he was hoping that God would change his mind. So he told them, stay. And God told him, you know what? Go with them. And Balaam rose in the morning, I'm reading verse 21, and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab, verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. But God told him to go. And so he went. God's anger was kindled. The angel of the Lord stood in the way as an adversary against him. So the angel of the Lord that was supposed to stand in support of him became an adversary unto him because he had defiled the law of God by going with the wrong company. By responding to the invitation by Balak. See, I know sometimes it can get lonely. But don't get compromised by joining the wrong association. Don't lose his presence because you want to gain the presence of man. So his donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn. And the donkey became, you know, and let me jump to verse 25. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against it. And he struck her harder. Balaam became stubborn. When you join the wrong association, you become deafened to the instructions of God. There was just that stubbornness that rose from nowhere. The donkey even had to tell him, I am the donkey you have ridden for years. Because at a point, God had to open the voice, the mouth of the donkey to speak. Let me jump to verse 28. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done to you that you should strike me this time? Now, number one, a donkey that had been faithful to you refused to go further. The donkey made you fall, crushed your feet on the wall, and Balaam was still stubborn. Balaam had lost every sense of signals. You know, sometimes God does not come all the time to say, do this, do that. He just gives you signs. He gives you signals. But when you're in the wrong association, you lose that sense of signal. Every sensitivity in Balaam was dead. He couldn't pick the signals. He was spiritually blind. God had to open his eyes. And then he told the angel, he said, I did not see you. He was in the wrong company. He was blind. He was deaf. He could not pick the signs. He could not pick the signals. The Lord was angry with him. Now, he did not outrightly disobey God because God told him to go. But because he was compromised, he had the idol in his heart. 2024, you will revisit all your relationships and you will ask the Lord to begin to prune, to begin to cut off every branch that does not bring glory to his name. Because this, as simple as it looks, can stand against any man from being blessed. Hallelujah. When you are in the wrong company, some things become permissible to you. Then you hear people beginning to say, maybe it's the permissive will of God. Let's go to criteria 4. Thank you, Jesus. Criteria 4. I'm not going to dwell on criteria 4. Criteria 4 is a full message on its own. And I know that in the course of this year, God will take us deep in this particular aspect. His delight, his pleasure, his desires, his delight is in the law of the law, and in his law doth it meditate day and night. His pleasure, not the timing, day and night. Is there another thing in our timing, aside day and night? So this tells you no holiday. It tells you no day off. It tells you no break. Because I hear sometimes people say, oh, I'm going through a lot. I need to just take a break from church. I need to take a break from, you know, I don't want to see anybody. I just want to be on my own. I need to take a break. And then the next morning they get dressed and they are going to work. The people in your office, are they goats? You said you wanted to take a break. How come you can't take a break from? Just tell your employer, HR, I'm going through a lot. I need to take a break. Seriously. Yes. It's okay. You will take that break inside the office with your laptop. Don't worry, the therapist will come and sit with you by your desk. So, you know, it's just funny how people say, I want to take a break. I mean, I'm overwhelmed. Hallelujah. I'm not going to dwell so much on this. I believe that by the grace of God, we'll have more time. We can look well into his delight in the law of the Lord. The delight. Your delight is not just doing the routine. Without even thinking of it, you find yourself doing it. It gives you joy. It's part of you already. I mean, it's just funny how somebody wakes up in the morning and starts speaking in tongues. Not because the person planned to wake up and speak in tongues, but it is your delight. You wake up, you're just going about and you're just prophesying, you're just speaking the word, you're just studying the word. It is your delight. It gives you joy. That is delight. Your delight, it comes from within. It is not from the head. It comes from within. It is desired and is planted already in you. Hallelujah. So we've touched on the status. We've touched on the criteria. There's still a part of the criteria that we did not fully dwell on. And then we're going to the reward. I'm being very mindful of time. Pastor Dave, how am I doing with time? Good? Let's look at reward. Move to verse 3. And it shall be. Now, the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night, then it shall be. Now, it shall be the blessed of the Lord, but this is the reward that comes with that status. So it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and brings forth fruit. Now, a tree that is planted by the rivers of water is not waiting to be watered because it has direct access to irrigation. It has direct access to water. So even if there is drought, because it is planted where the thing is happening, it does not need anybody to build any artificial irrigation or somebody that forgot to water it. It's not stranded. It shall be as a tree planted by the rivers. Its leaf also shall not wither. Now let me say that the main reward here is the planting by the rivers of water. So when you get this job, when you get this role, you get your salary. Now, what you get is not school fees for your children. What you get is not rent. What you get is your pay. And then because you have your pay, you are able to pay your children's school fees. You are able to pay your rent. You are able to meet your obligations. Now, because you are planted by the rivers of living water, then you bring forth your fruit in season. Then your leaves will not wither. And whatsoever you do will prosper. It has become given, guaranteed. So they are not four different things. You are planted by the rivers of living water, and because you are there, then every other thing has to work in alignment. So your leaves will not get withered. You cannot be stranded. Everything you do prospers because you are planted. The reward of being blessed is that you are planted by God in the rivers of living water. So you see that when the devil comes and throws at you a seed that germinates, and then you begin to walk in that counsel, and you continue to stand in the way of sinners, or you enjoy the seat of the scornful, what you are doing, you are giving the opportunity to the devil to stop you from enjoying the blessedness of being planted by God. So many a times you don't know that the real intention of the devil planting that seed of lust is to stop you from prospering, is to stop your leaves from blossoming, is to stop you from flourishing. You think, oh, it's just a one-time thing. When the devil told Eve, God did not say don't eat it. The original intention of the devil was for Eve to eat it and be sent out of the garden and to end that race. To hand that plan of God, to destroy it. But Eve saw it only as a fruit. She didn't see the big picture. The devil does not do small things. That he tells you to take 5 naira. You must know that his original intention is not that 5 naira. So when you give into all of this seed, the lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, the pride of life, what you are doing is you are standing against your flourishing. We have come into the year of flourishing. 2024, you will flourish. 2024, you will blossom. But you have to be mindful of these things. And whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. Whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. Wherever the root of that tree goes to, it prospers. There is nothing standing against it. You cannot be stranded anymore. Please rise to your feet. Embelekedebo zekedebelekedebo zunta librali kadaya ekata bashakata balikete ento lokotobo spray in the spirit ekata bozikataya embalikedebo shekete embelekete embelekedebo zukataya rekete lekedebo zukata embalakadabo shakata embal